Amen. As you are remaining standing, take your Bibles, turn them to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. This is the last in a series of three messages on blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. Amen. How many of y'all are more peaceful now since we started the messages? Amen. You should be. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verse number 9. And we had been talking about the Beatitudes and their relation to Matthew 5:16 and letting our light so shine before men they may see our good works. And the theme has been shining God's light with all of our might. And we talked about that household view, how we ought to have these Beatitudes in our homes and then export them outside of our homes. And these have been very, very important in the life of the Christian. By the way, you don't get saved by having the Beatitudes. They show that you are already saved. Amen. And so we have looked at verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I want you to read with me in verse number 9. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right. It says there, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Then down in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And they give it light unto all that are in the house. Jesus illustrating to them that their behavior will be seen by everybody, both inside the home and outside the home. And so we have to make sure that we have these blessed attitudes in our lives, the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, the hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart. And then the peacemakers. And we started all this by saying that, first of all, you have to have the in workings of peace. And what does that mean? It says that we have to make sure that we have peace with God first. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I cannot begin to be a peacemaker if I don't have peace with God myself. And then after I've got this in working of peace, then I should have the outworking of peace. Perfect peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them, the Bible says. And also says, great peace have they which love thy law. Amen. And we talked about having the perfect peace and the great peace working out of you. And then we've been on these three messages, the outreaching of peace. And we saw peace with the unpeaceable. We can be peaceful with peaceful people, peaceful people that are unpeaceable. Amen. And then we saw last week being peaceable with the unreachable. And we saw how Jesus was at peace with Judas Iscariot, even though he was unreachable. And then today, we're going to look at being peaceable with the unthinkable. You say, preacher, don't even think about them. We're going to talk about them today. You say, but preacher, I don't want to talk about the unthinkable people. Well, we have to talk about the unthinkable because God loves them too. And Jesus died for them too. And if you have God's peace in you, guess what? They need to see that peace. But they're unthinkable. That's why we're preaching the message today. So after today, you won't say anymore, well, you know, I didn't want to give them the gospel, and so I'm going to let them die. You know, no, no, no. Today, we're going to discuss that. And I hope you leave here a little bit more knowledgeable on these unthinkable people in our lives. Before we pray, I want you to think about who is that person or those persons that you would say are unthinkable. You wouldn't think about giving them the gospel. You wouldn't even think about it. And I'm not talking about on some remote countries like the Scots and the Alfridges down in Mexico. I'm talking about people that you know, not strangers, people that you know. You would say, man, these folks, they're unthinkable. I wouldn't think about giving them the gospel. Those are the people we're talking about this morning. Those people, not strangers, people that you know. Father, open our hearts this morning. Father, there are people that we know. In our minds and our hearts, we would say it's unthinkable to even talk about giving them the gospel. Lord, those are the very persons that we're talking about and discussing today. Lord, if we have the in workings of peace in our lives, and we have the outworkings of peace going on, then Lord, we need to have the outreaching of peace. Lord, we've discussed these unpeaceable people, and we've discussed the unreachable people. But Lord, now it's these unthinkables. Everything was fine until we think about them. Lord, there are people that you died for and you love. God, this morning, fill us with your love that you have for the world. Allow that love that you have for the world to flow out of us. We might second guess and have a second consideration of these unthinkables in our life. And Lord, I pray the message today would encourage our hearts, stir our hearts. Lord, most of all, arrest our attention today. There are certain people that we would say are unthinkable that you love and died for that you want reached with the gospel. And I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit access and liberty in this place today. Lord, I don't know every need here today. I don't know every heart here today. I don't know what you want to do in every life today, but I just know the Word of God is that balm of Gilead that we all need. And we need to see in the Word of God what is applicable for our lives today. And possibly we don't have an unthinkable person in our midst today, but they may be someone that will do something tomorrow or the day after or the next week or the next month or the next year. Lord, if you tarry your coming, we would have to categorize them as unthinkable. Yet still, we still want them to hear of the love of God in Christ Jesus and be saved. Lord, if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today under my sound of my voice today, help them to unlock the door's heart. Holy Spirit, be the porter. Open the door that the love of God may flow in. They may be saved today. They can leave here today and say, it's been good to be in the house of God. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm changed. I'm new. I'm clean. I'm redeemed. And then for that brother or sister struggling today, help them today. Whatever capacity it may be, and utilize me to glorify thee. Bless now in the message, in our song that we'll be saying, and may it uplift, encourage our hearts, and prepare us for the message. And Lord, may we already be right with you so that we can let the Holy Spirit deal in our lives. Help us not to wait to the end of the sermon to get right, but to be right already. Thank you for the amazing grace that you bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother John's going to sing for us this morning.
Died for me. on my faults and saw my needs. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that special message and song. Amen. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Amen. You know, when it comes to the grace of God, that's what he did for all of us. Amen. He looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. Amen. And I'm glad he did, because my faults were many. And God covered it in the blood of Jesus Christ and let me go because of what Christ did for me. Amen. You know, we consider this topic being peaceable with the unthinkable. If you have someone that's that unthinkable person in your life or that thought, the main thing that you want to do is pretty much just get even with them oftentimes, if the truth be known. Let me read you a devotional that Paul Chappell wrote back on the 24th of September, and it tickled me when I read this, but when I thought about it, it's true. It says, an elephant and a giraffe walk together to a watering hole on the African plain. How many remember that story? Amen. It was a cool and pleasant evening, and they were talking about life. When they reached the water hole, they saw a large turtle sunning himself on a log. Without saying a word, the elephant walked over and kicked the turtle, sending him spinning out over the water until he landed with a huge splash. Why on earth did you do that? The giraffe asked his friend. Well, 30 years ago, I came to this same water hole and that turtle snapped at my trunk. Oh my goodness. The elephant replied. Oh my goodness. You have an amazing memory, the giraffe said. Yes, said the elephant, I have turtle recall. You know, some of us can have turtle recall or total recall, if it were, about some of the most bizarre incidents in our life. Paul Chappell goes on to say, even those of us who struggle to remember what we were supposed to get at the grocery store or why we walked into the room find it easy to remember those have treated us wrongly. We tend to nurse our injuries, rehearsing the details and thinking about ways in which we could get even. Holding on to the pains of the past harms us in two ways. First of all, the more time we spend focused on them, the more painful they become. Rather than allowing the wound to heal, we keep picking at the scab and making it worse. Second of all, the longer we think about injuries done to us, the more likely we are to attempt revenge for what happened. This leads to all sorts of evils. Paul would later write in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place when the wrath for it is written. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The pain that we suffer is real, but faith in God allows us to trust him to bring true justice to those who have done us wrong. Trust God to bring justice rather than trying to get even yourself. Proverbs 24:29 states, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his works. You know, if the truth be known, sometimes when it comes to the unthinkable, we have that turtle recall. We remember that event. We remember that thing. We may have unthinkable people in our families, in our lives, people that we have known. But these are people that we would never think about approaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These may be people that have wronged us or we wronged them. They may have hurt us physically or we hurt them. They may have hurt us emotionally, psychologically, abusively, or maybe we did it to them.
Whatever the case, it's someone in our lives that we would say it's unthinkable to be peaceable with them. I had some of these thoughts before coming to Arizona. I had people that had wronged me and people that I had wronged. I had people that emotionally hurt me and people that I had emotionally hurt. I had people that I had scarred and I had people whom scarred me. And before I came back to Arizona, I did not want to come back. For the reason I may see some of these unthinkable people that I had hurt and whom had hurt me. But by the U.S. military, God brought me here nonetheless.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor White, I thought, surely it's been 11 years. They're all gone by now. So when I got here, I did the unthinkable. Don't do this at home. I was so consumed with this. I was in the type of career field. I had access to everybody's records on the military base. All the unthinkables, I looked them up to see if they were still here. Much to my surprise, Brother Hall, many of them had left and come back just like I had. And I thought, why couldn't they have stayed gone? And I looked one after another. They left and they came back. 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 I said, I'm in trouble. When I was here last time, I wasn't saved. And I did some things that I'm not proud of. And I did some things that weren't smart. And other people did some things to me that weren't smart. And they weren't proud of it. And now I got to go back to these same people and face them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to face them.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
In my mind, they're unthinkable.
Yes,
say, preacher, what'd you do? I did what you should do. I went to my pastor. And I said, Pastor, there's some unthinkable people in my life, and I'm destined to run into them sooner or later.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
My pastor began to tell me how to deal with these unthinkable people in my life. And would you know, within the first couple weeks, one after the other, I ran into these unthinkable people.
Oh, boy.
You say, preacher, what'd you do? I did what any Christian ought to do. I let them know that I'm not the same. I'm different. I'm changed.
Amen.
I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm not the same old man that I was who hurt you, who offended you, did these things. And the person that you did these things to, he's not the same either. And although you may be suspect, although you may think I got it out for you, although you think I may hurt you, let me tell you, I'm different. There's something that happened to me in 11 years. I've been gone, and I don't know what's happened in your life. Let me tell you what happened in mine. And I proceeded to do like Paul did. I was on the road to Damascus. God sent me over to Belgium for a reason, to save my soul. And the unthinkable people that I came up to, one by one, I got a chance to share the gospel with them and give them the hope of salvation. All the while, I was afraid to even see them. I thought, they're going to punch me. I'm going to punch them. Somebody going to punch somebody. In defense, I'm ducking and dodging. Hey, running. What about Jesus? I didn't know how it was going to be when I met some of these people. Throwing tracks out my pocket. Take that. I'm not the same.
Amen.
That was 11 years ago. They got turtle recall. Amen. Hey, maybe you got these unthinkable people in your life.
Yes, there is.
However, as mentioned on one of the previous messages, don't play God in people's lives. And before I go on any further, I'm not saying every unthinkable person you can think of should be approached. Get the record straight. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying this morning. Take David and Saul, for example. You don't find David going to have lunch with King Saul. He's on the run from Saul because Saul's trying to kill him. God doesn't expect us to sit and have tea biscuits with somebody who's trying to harm us. I'm not talking about that. He does, however, expect us to be peaceable toward them as we endeavor to run our race for Christ, because there's still a race that we've got to run with unthinkable people in our lives. And they're going to be there. We may have some unthinkable Sauls in our lives out to get us. Our goal as a Christian is to continue running a race like David did, being circumspect of the unthinkables while still being peaceable to them. Rodney just shared with me this morning, he had a family member in his own life that didn't want to speak to him, who turned him in for some things of just giving out the gospel. And we may have those type of people. If God brings people across our path or repeatedly lays them on our hearts, we will have to deal with them sooner or later. God laid an unthinkable person on my wife's heart and my heart that was an abusive person towards her growing up. And after we got married, we had to go back and face this unthinkable person. And contact had not been made with this person since the abuse. But we're saved now, and God laid upon her heart and my heart to approach this abusive person. Let me tell you something, folks, that's not easy. When you see someone that you love that was abused by someone else and they're a stranger to you, you've got no love lost for that person. Especially when now you hold in your hands a fragile life of someone who you love, that this abuse could have been avoided, but it wasn't. And so your eye is out for that unthinkable person to get them. And so God laid it on my wife's heart and my heart early on when we got saved that we wanted to make sure that our relationship with God was right. And so we had to get every relationship right that we could possibly think of right as well. And we went back to the unthinkable person and shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. As hard as it was, as difficult as it was more difficult for my wife than it was for me. In the back of my mind, Kenny, I was thinking if I just had a bat, I'd bat you in your head. I'm just being honest with you. As a Christian, I just couldn't get away with doing it in Jesus' name. So I thought, I can't do it because I can't act in Jesus' name. And so the bat had to stay behind. And I couldn't do it. But you know what? The unthinkable person in her life, she was able to deal with. The unthinkable people in my life, I was able to deal with. And I was able to share the gospel. She was able to share the gospel. We're going to have those type of people that in your heart, it's hard. It's hard to reach them. You think, but Lord, you don't know what they did to me. And you don't understand what I did to them. And they don't want to see me. It matters not what they want. What matters is what God told you to do. Now, again, he may not tell you to do this to everybody. I'm trying to let you know that. I'm just telling you what happened in my life and in my wife's life. God pressed it on our hearts to deal with these people because we want to be absolutely and thoroughly right with God and not have anything hanging over our heads, not have anything separating us, knowing that we gave the gospel to every person that we could think about giving it to, whether we had a problem with them or not. I want my record clean. I'm clean of the blood of all men's hands. I'm sharing.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
And God laid that on our hearts. And so we did that. Say, preacher, God didn't deal with me that way. Amen. But you will have some people that maybe are not that far off from that. Let me give you three simple, quick points this morning. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And of course, we know the word means to be pacificatory or to be a go-between, bringing parties together and reconciling them. We saw more importantly, our job is to bring people that are lost together with a holy God and bring them together. They may be saved, and we can do that by giving them the gospel. And we looked at those unpeaceable people and those unreachable people, but then the unthinkable people. Number one, dealing with the unthinkable people, don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. Don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. If they don't receive the gospel, don't let it be because you didn't give it to them. They don't get saved. Don't let it be because you didn't share with them. If they don't respond to the gospel, don't let it be because you didn't do the job when you had the opportunity. Now, again, you may not have the opportunity. I'm saying if you have the opportunity, if God lays it on your heart, if he puts the person in your circle, in your pathway, if you have that capability, God made sure he brought every person that was unthinkable face to face with me. I'm talking face to face. You cannot run from that. What are you going to do? Keep your mouth shut? What are you going to do? Not tell them you're saved? What are you going to do? Not tell them about Jesus Christ? What are you going to do? Make small talk with someone that has hurt you or you hurt them? There is no small talk that you can make. The only thing that you can do is introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing you can do is, I was the way I was because I was not saved. Because I am saved, that's why I'm not going to retaliate. That's why I'm not going to have total recall on you. Because I'm saved, I'm going to extend to you the gospel. Without that, my friend, the unthinkable will continue to be the unthinkable to you. And you can rest assured, if God wants you to deal with them, he'll bring them up over and over and over and over and over and over. You'll run into them. If you're in their vicinity, you'll see them face to face. I dreaded coming to Tucson because I thought they may still be here. And you know what? I was right. They were still here. And I said, oh, I'm like, David, if I had wings like a dove, but I believe God would have put them up on the mountain too. Wherever I went, he probably would have put them until I got right. Praise God, Carmen and myself got a chance to share with the abusive person in her life the gospel before that person died. They died several years later. Imagine how we'd have felt if we had not have shared the gospel with that person when we had the opportunity. Don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. On more than one occasion, David had a chance to get revenge on the unthinkable Saul, but he did not. Turn to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. David had numerous occasions to get this revenge on Saul and have this total recall. But in chapter 24, 1 Samuel verse 6, notice what we find here. Matter of fact, go up to verse number 4. This is David. He's on the run from Saul. And notice verse 3. And it came to, and he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So Saul comes in this cave to relieve himself. And as he's relieving himself, David's men are spaced out throughout the cave. And they see Saul, but Saul can't see them. Verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. You say, preacher, he just cut off Saul's skirt. Cutting off Saul's skirt was like cutting off Saul. It was a part of him. And so touching his fabric or his garment was like touching the king himself. Verse 6, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David had the unthinkable. David said, I'm not going to take God's place toward the unthinkable. That's God's business. That's God's job. If God wants to do it, that's God's anointed. And I'm not going to stretch my hand towards the anointed. Hey, my friend, you have no idea what the unthinkable has, what God has planned for the unthinkable person in your life. You have no idea. You have no idea. Don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. Flip over to chapter 26. Same thing. Different scenario. Chapter 26. David's still on the run. Saul is still after him. Notice down there in verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. And I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Again, don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. God has a time, God has a place, and God has a remedy for them. Don't let it be because you didn't do your job. David said, I'm not going to do it. What is David saying? Don't take God's place. He still said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. If you take vengeance, what are you? You're a God robber. He said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. So if you take vengeance when it's God's vengeance, you have just robbed God, just like a person that doesn't tithe. You're a God robber. You have robbed God of the vengeance that he wanted to take on that person. And he will not do it because you have already done it. And my friend, God is a better avenger than you ever thought about being. He's got a bigger fist than you have. His words matter a whole lot more than yours do. Yes, sir, Pastor. His words carry a whole lot more weight than your words do. And his vengeance is swift. David did not take God's place. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. And so when it comes to the unthinkable, first of all, don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. Number two, I told you it's quick things. Do extend God's grace to the unthinkable. Do extend God's grace to the unthinkable. First of all, you don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. But second of all, do extend God's grace. Every person that I ran into, I had nothing to give them of my own. No, the only thing I can give them was the grace of God. That's the only thing I can give them was the grace of God. I could show the mercy of God, but the mercy of God just says, I'm not going to give you what I could give you. The grace of God says, let me give you what you don't deserve, because that's what God gave me. God didn't give me what I had coming to me. He had mercy on me, but then God had grace on me. He said, I'm not going to give you what you deserve, but I am going to give you what you don't deserve. I'll forgive you of your sins. All those sins that you did back then, Tucson, Arizona, against those people, I'll forgive those. I'll cover it under the blood. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. I'll save you. I'll redeem you. I'll set your feet on a solid rock. I'll give you heaven. I'll spare you from hell. I'll get you going. I'll call you to preach. I'll let you give out the gospel. I'll do it for you. So how dare I come back and hold some turtle recall over somebody's life? When God didn't have total recall on me, he said, here's your total recall. As far as the east is from the west, so have he moved our transgressions. As a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What am I saying? Don't take God's place when it comes to the unthinkable. Do extend God's grace. Notice that very next verse there in 1 Samuel 26. Notice verse 10. It says this: David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, thou take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of his water, and let us go. And he tried to get his attention. What did he do? He extended God's grace. He said, I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to have grace on you. What is grace? Unmerited favor, getting what we don't deserve, great riches at Christ's expense. Hey, Saul deserved to die, but not at the hands of David. It's not your place. It's not my place. Well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Yes, but God does. You don't know how bad I hurt. Yes, but God does. You don't know how deep the wounds go. I don't, but God does. It's not what I know. It's what God knows. And we've got to depend on God and trust God and know that he knows better when it comes to the unthinkable people in our lives. It's not our job to judge. If anybody had justification, it was David. This man's out to kill him. And if this man catches him, he is going to kill him. If anybody's got justification, David does. But David said, I'm not going to take God's place. I am going to extend God's grace. Give him grace and mercy, what he doesn't deserve. God will empower us to be peaceable with the unthinkable if it's in God's will for us to do so. He has that ability and he has that power. So when it comes to the unthinkable, I know you've got them, I've got them. If you don't have them today, you will have them at some time. Don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. Number two, do extend God's grace to the unthinkable. Number three, and this is going to go for everybody, go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Because we are going to have these unthinkable people in our lives. They're going to be people that don't like us or have something against us, or we have something against them. We've done something. Hebrews chapter 12, notice verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that with us will beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. First of all, don't take God's place toward the unthinkable. Second of all, do extend God's grace to the unthinkable. But thirdly, do run your race when it comes to the unthinkable. What am I saying? Hey, the character in our story had this turtle recall. They remembered. They were just looking for an opportunity to get revenge. Just run God's race. You can't run God's race cumbered about with all sorts of people that are unthinkable in your life that have hurt you that you're thinking about while you're trying to serve God. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Not successfully. Not with a joyful heart. Not with the peace that passes all understanding. You can't do it, my friend, if you're constantly thinking about who hurt you, what damage they did to you, how you going to get them back, how you can do them evil. It's not going to work in the Christian life. That would be the case. Jesus Christ would have been thinking about everybody that hurt him. But as I recall, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just like I didn't know what I was doing towards the when I was unsaved. I didn't know what I was doing. But hallelujah, praise God, when I got saved, went over to Belgium, when I came back, I knew what I was doing. I knew I was in my right mind. I knew they were unthinkable. I knew they did some things. I knew I did some things. But I said, hallelujah, I'm different. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to cover it under the blood. Now, whether you get saved, that's up to you. But I'm not going to take God's place. I'm going to extend God's grace, and I'm going to keep running my race. I don't have to worry about you anymore and what you did to me. Whether you are sorry about it, that's on you. We spend so much time when they're not sorry. Well, what's that to you? You can't make them be sorry. Well, they're not really repentant. Well, what is that matter to you? You can't make them be repentant. Hey, you've got to extend God's grace. Don't take God's place and just keep running your race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. People will let you down. People will hurt you. People will offend you. People won't be there when you think they need to be there. They'll say things. They'll do things. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Don't let them stop you from doing what's right. Do right despite them. God may not have you go to every unthinkable person you can come up with. Maybe only the ones affecting your particular race for Christ. Ask you a question. Do they hinder your race? Obviously, this old giraffe and this elephant, when they came to that watering hole, he's looking for that opportunity. He's just waiting for this old turtle to show up again, because 30 years was a long time, and I've been waiting for my revenge. Do you have certain people in your life that you're constantly thinking about? How they hurt you? How they let you down? What they did to you? And if you saw them, what you would say to them? How you going to give them a piece of your mind? You going to tell them how you feel? You going to tell them this? How about just tell them the gospel? How about just tell how Jesus Christ changed your life? How about just saying, you know, I'm not going to take God's place. I'm going to give God's grace. I'm going to keep running my race. I know what you did to me. You know what you did to me. But I'm not going to hold that against you. That's God's job. Hey, David said that's God's anointed, God's business. That's up to God. That's not up to me. No, Abisha, I don't do it. I'm not going to do it. Again, do they hinder your walk for Christ? Are you burdened by the unthinkable thoughts of them? Are you cumbered about like Martha? Then it could be you've got an unthinkable person in your life. My wife could not be the Christian that God needed her to be when God gave us that opportunity to go to that abusive person and we just threw it away and said, you go to hell. We wish we would give you the gospel. You just go to hell. You know what you did to us. You know how you hurt, but God knows. And guess what? If that person doesn't get saved, then at the end of the day, God is the judge, and he'll come up and say, hey, the person that you abused, you had the chance to get saved, and guess what? You did nothing with it. Away with ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Because when we gave the person the gospel, they said they were saved too. Amen. There you go. My wife and I knew the person wasn't saved. Amen. You have a kindred spirit with people that are saved. You have a like-mindedness with people that are saved. People that aren't saved, it's like hitting a brick wall. Amen. That was about as brick as they get. What am I saying? I just believe that God knew that we wanted to be thoroughly right with him. And so he allowed us to go to that individual. I believe that we wanted to be thoroughly right, that he brought those individuals to me as soon as I came back to Arizona. So he said, if you're going to be a preacher of the gospel in this city, in this town, there's some people you need to deal with, son. There's people you need to come face to face with. What when you go door knocking and they open the door and that's them? What you going to do then, son? Not give them the gospel? Say, oh, I got the wrong house? I don't think so. I said, God, you are my witness. You know what they did to me. You know what I did to them. I want to be right with you. I don't care how bad it hurts. And trust me, some of them hurt real bad. Some of them hurt real bad. But I say, God, I want to be right with you. And I need my pastor's counsel on this because I'm not sure how these things are going to go out when I see these people. I don't know what they're going to do to me. I don't know what I'm going to do to them. But I know this, I'm saved now. And I want to act like I'm saved. I want to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. I want to be right with you. I want to be that blessed with a pure heart. I want to be the one hungry and thirsty after righteousness. And I cannot be that way. With unthinkable people in my life, I cannot be that way. And Lord, I want to be right with these people. Even the one that abused, was abusive to my wife, I want to be peaceable with them. Whether they want to be peaceable with me, that's another story. I'm not saying everybody's got to be peaceable with me. I just want to make sure I'm peaceable with them. Why, at the end of the day, I give account to God for my life, not their life. But I don't want their blood upon my hands, just like David said. I'm not going to touch the Lord's number. That's God's business. I'm not going to take God's place. I'm going to extend God's grace. And I'm going to run my race. By the way, eventually David was king. Eventually David did see Saul's doom. But it wasn't at the hands of David. He had his time. And he met his end. What am I saying? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. And we're going to have some unthinkable people in our lives that we've got to make sure that we don't take God's place. We do extend God's grace. And we do run our race despite the unthinkable. Notice what it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it's amazing when you run a race. If you're looking unto Jesus, did you ever realize if I'm running a race and Jesus is at the finish line, I'm looking at him. If I'm running the race, I'm only running against these people here. I'm not running against the spectators. I'm not running against the commentators. I'm not running against anybody but the people in my race. God may bring the unthinkable in your pathway on your race. If he brings them on your pathway, on your race, you got to deal with them. You have got to deal with them. He can bring them in two ways. Physically, he can bring them face to face with you. Or emotionally, he'll trouble your spirit until you acknowledge the fact. Either physically, he's going to bring them right there. Or emotionally, he's going to trouble your spirit. And you will have no rest, just like this old elephant coming to the water hole. You know, every last one of my unthinkables, I can look them square in their face and know that I dealt with the issue. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. We had our church split way back. Pastor White can attest to this. I can look every last one of them in the eye. Amen. And they know they really don't have a problem with me because I went to every last one of them. They don't have they can't say, well, it's you. I went to them and talked to them. They can't say it's me. No, they can say it. But God knows. God's my witness. I went to them. So I don't have those unthinkable. I try to settle my accounts and get them over with. Hey, friend, if you got things that are not settled, it'll haunt you. Yes, sir. It'll haunt you. Oh, yeah. You'll be like the draft. Yes, sir, Pastor. 30 years ago. Yes, sir. This is what they did. Hey, although my wife and I both had some scars from these incidents and these events, guess what we can say is God is our witness. We dealt with it the best way we knew how. And we gave them opportunities to receive Christ. Every last one of them that hurt us in that way. All the ones that I had hurt, guess what? Gave them the opportunity. Now what you do with it is up to you. What am I saying? We're going to have unthinkable people. God has called us, if we're saved, to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Then it's our job to bring these unthinkables, these unreachables, and these unpeaceables as much as we can to God. And if they won't come, then guess what? Don't let it be our fault. We give them the gospel, give them the opportunity. Now, they can look at us strange and say, I don't want it, whatever. Hey, but look, at least we did our part.
That's right.
Paul said, I'm free in the blood of all men. I'm not shunned to declare all the counsel of God.
That's good.
Hey, do you have some unthinkables?
That's good.
Maybe during the invitation time, you need to come and pray. Amen. My wife and I prayed long and hard before coming back to Tucson. We prayed long and hard before dealing with abusive people back in New Jersey. And we say, God, please help us. God, give us the words to say. God, we want to be good witnesses. God, we know we hurt. God, we know there's pain. We know we've got to do this thing to have peace in our lives, to get this record settled, to get the account closed. God, give us the words to say. Give us the boldness and the faith. God, give us the way to repress the anger and get rid of the anger and remove that resentment. And Lord, help us to give them the gospel the same way you did with us. The same way you forgave us. Help us to forgive them. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. We had all those things working in our hearts. God, we want to be right. Amen. And my friend, there are going to be some unthinkable people in your life. And you are going to have to stand before God and say, God, when you brought these people to my mind and my heart, and you brought these people by my pathway, I gave them the gospel. I gave them the opportunity. At least I gave them a gospel track so they can get saved. Now, it boils down to this. Mm-hmm. How right do you really want to be with God?
Hey, that's good, Pastor.
I say, God, I don't want anything hindering my relationship with you. Nothing. Nothing. Hey, when my wife and I got saved, man, we had to sit down and have a talk. I said, look, we're saved now. Let's get the skeletons out the closet. Let's clean that thing out.
Amen.
By the way, skeletons don't belong in closets anyway.
We
cleaned that closet out, buried them skeletons out in the cemetery, said R.I.P.
Yes, sir.
And we said, now that we dealt with each other, let's go deal with the unthinkables.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
All those lies I was living before I got saved, honey, dig that hole, throw them out there in that cemetery, R.I.P. She said the same thing. Let me dig my hole too, R.I.P. Amen. Praise God. Let's lock arms. Let's love God. Let's go for it. And God, bring those unthinkables. Let's deal with them one by one. And together we began to attack them as a team. Why? We were together. We were at peace with one another. We were at peace with God and wanted to be peace with everybody else. I had no clue at the time God was going to call me into the ministry to be a preacher. How in the world am I going to be a preacher of the gospel when I got unthinkable people in my life that I won't even give the gospel to? Doesn't make sense. But God wanted me to be thoroughly right with Him. Thoroughly right with my wife. So that I can go to all those unthinkables, all those unreachables, all those unpeaceables.
Oh, yeah.
And say, let me tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
Say, preacher, are you someone special? No, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen, Pastor.
I'm just another person that God loves like He loves you. But the same way He loves me and He loves you, He loves those unthinkables too.
Yes, sir, He does, Pastor.
The same way He died for you, He died for those unthinkables. Say, preacher, but they don't deserve it. Not you're up to you what they deserve. None of us deserve it. None of us, we all deserve hell if we're honest.
Yes, sir, we don't.
We weren't big catches.
No, we wasn't.
But it's the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of God that looked down and said, they're all unthinkable. But you know what, John? I'm going to look beyond their faults and see their need.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know about you today, but if you got some unthinkables, maybe you need to deal with them today. Maybe today you're here and maybe you're not even saved and you don't have a race to run. You don't have a light to shine. My friend, you need to be saved. The love of God is able to save you if you're willing to be saved. God is able to forgive you if you're willing for Him to forgive you. His love goes beyond every fault that you could have, your past sins, your present sins and your future sins, and He'll save you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Say, preacher, how can I have that? Repent of your sins. Therefore, unless ye also repent, ye shall all likewise perish, the Bible says. You must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Are you saved today? If you're saved, you can be a peacemaker. If you're not saved, get saved. God is waiting. God loves you and God wants to save you. But oh dear friend, if you're here and you are saved, don't take vengeance in your own hand. Don't take God's place. Do extend God's grace. Do run your race. Young people, how about it? Maybe someone's done something to you and you say, I can't wait to get older so I can get that person back. Maybe you have thoughts like that. Young person, you might need to get saved today yourself. the events that happened in my wife's life happened when she was just a young person. Teen years. Teenagers. Some people may not be kind to you. They may be abusive to you. They may do some things that you may be like that giraffe, that elephant had, that turtle recalling. That's not God's plan. It's not God's way. Young person, maybe you need to get saved. Have you checked your salvation? Say, preacher, I'm raised in a Christian home. Didn't ask you that. Did you check your, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you, young person, saved? Have you called on the name of Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Have you, young person, repented of your sins? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Maybe, young person, today is about you, and you need to get saved. I don't know, but you need to check it. Can you go back to a place? Can you go back to a time when you accepted Christ? And from that time, did your life change? If it didn't, perhaps you're not saved. Or perhaps you're just so backslidden that people can't see a change. But let me tell you, God's love can cover it all. Covers it all. Father, thank you for this time. God, minister in our hearts, our minds. Lord, not a deep message today. Very simplistic. We're going to have unthinkable things happen in our lives. Lord, we don't want to take your place towards them. Lord, we do want to extend your grace when we have opportunity. Lord, we do want to still run our race in spite of the unthinkables. They may or may not get saved, Lord, but let it not be because we didn't show them the love of Jesus Christ in our own lives. With head bows and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many honestly would say, preacher, if I died right now, I am absolutely 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. No doubt in my mind. I know it. And you'd raise your hand, testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'd go to heaven. I know it. And you'd raise your hand, testifying of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. Would you pray for me that I can get that thing settled? You lift that hand up and you can put it right back down. I'll acknowledge you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that at all? Raise your hand and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Anyone? Then lastly, how about it? Do you have an unthinkable person that God has laid upon your heart throughout the course of this message? Maybe someone from your past, like the elephant. Or maybe someone that's in your present who is currently doing something to you. Maybe you might have someone within the next few days, weeks, or months. And you need to handle that properly. And you need to handle that with God's wisdom. And if there is that unthinkable person in your past or in your present or possibly in your future, you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray and plead like Carmen and I did. God, give us wisdom. God, help us to know what we need to do. Lord, help us to know how to handle these people. And Lord, help us not to be guilty of having their blood on our hands because you have placed them in our pathway and you have placed them on our hearts. And maybe, just maybe, during the invitation time, you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Ask God's wisdom. Ask God's guidance. Maybe it didn't happen to you. Maybe it happened to somebody you know. Maybe it happened to one of your children. Maybe it happened to your wife. Maybe it happened to your husband. Maybe to your parents, your grandparents, aunt and uncle. But you need wisdom. Father, bless now. Many hands testifying to the fact that they know Christ as Savior. Lord, in a group like this, in a setting like this, I am not completely confident that everyone is born again. Lord, in a group, in a setting like this, I'm also reminded that I believe there are some unthinkable people on some hearts here today. People that under normal circumstances we would not share the gospel with. But oh God, may those hearts and those minds of the people that are hearing the sound of my voice not take your place. Do extend your grace and continue running the race. And Lord, may they come down to an old-fashioned altar and ask you to intervene and give them wisdom on how to deal with the unthinkables in their life. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. We're going to have an hymn of invitation. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Shane, as they sing, would you raise the volume up on my mic a little bit? As the music is played, maybe God spoke in your heart. You need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you got to deal with someone. Maybe someone hurt you so bad. You've said in your heart, if I ever see him again, this is what I do. Maybe they've offended you in such a way. Maybe they've done some devious things, some evil things that are unthinkable. He said, if I never see them again, that's fine with me. But maybe, just maybe, God wants you to pray for them. Maybe God wants you to forgive them already in your heart, so that when you do see them, you won't retaliate. You won't take revenge. But you'll give the gospel. See, friends, me and Carmen had to settle that before we even came back. We had to settle that before we even saw the individuals. We had to settle in our hearts that we wanted to be right with God. We wanted to be forgivers. We wanted to be peacemakers, bringing people to God. Maybe, just maybe, young person or someone in your life. Maybe young person, you need to be saved today. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're young single. Maybe as a single, you got some things against your mom, your dad. Maybe a step-parent abused you. Maybe someone took advantage of you and said, if I ever see him again, this is what I'll do. If I ever see him again, I'll get revenge on them. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. Oh, David had opportunities. David said, I'll not touch the Lord's anointed. I'll not take matters in my own hands. I'll not take God's place. I will extend God's grace. I'll run my race. How about it today? Christians are praying. Who's that unthinkable person in your life? Preacher, how will I be able to separate and know the difference? You'll think about them over and over again. When you think about them, you hurt. You have pain. You have resentment. You have anger.
Let me feel.
It gnaws at your soul. You get no peace. And if they died and went to hell, it wouldn't bother you a bit. That's most likely an unthinkable person in your life. Or maybe someone that you've hurt, and they feel the same way about you. Or maybe you need to pray about that person that you've hurt, that you've let down, that you've mishandled, that you've offended. I don't know where you're at, but God does. Father, the song is so fitting today that I surrender all. Lord, you know, many years ago, my wife and I surrendered all and said, Lord, we want to be thoroughly right with thee. And there are people in our lives, just like there was someone in David's life. And although they went out to kill us and harm us like David, they had emotionally scarred us. They had abused us. They had bruised us. And they had hampered and hindered our walk with you. Lord, you began to bring these unthinkables to our minds and our hearts, and thank you that you gave us the grace to handle each one. Thank you that we didn't take your place. And thank you, Lord, that you gave us the mindset to run our race in spite of these unthinkables, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God, I know some people have some unthinkable people in their past, presence, or their futures. God, I pray they would remember this sermon. Remember the actions of David against Saul. Remember the words of the apostle, vengeance is mine. And then the words of God, I will repay, saith the Lord. God, it's your place, it's your business. Just help us not to take your place in what we think and what we say and what we do. Lord, keep our guests safe as they travel to their destinations. Help them to enjoy one another while they're here. And help us not to leave here with unfinished business in our minds and our hearts towards the unthinkable. And God, bring us back tonight, our 4 o'clock meeting, then our 5 o'clock worship time, Lord, as we'll again address issue of what thus saith the word of God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Bless as we announce the deacons tonight. Pray that you get all praise, the honor, and the glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. I'm asking Pastor White, you come.